Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Breaching Extinction podcast. For those of you that are new here, this podcast is focused mostly on cetaceans, meaning whales and dolphins, ocean-related topics, and endangered animals. My name is Erica Worth. I'm your host here. I started this podcast in 2019 after spending a summer up in the San Juan Islands in the habitat of the southern resident killer whales. The first 2 years of this podcast focused specifically on that group of whales. I interviewed a variety of people from various backgrounds in regards to issues with that specific species. So if you're interested in learning about them, go back to our first 2 years worth of episodes. We are now here in season 4 and we are expanding a bit. So now we cover all kinds of topics. If you're interested in being on the podcast or you have a topic or a paper that you would like to have covered, send us an email or a message on Instagram, something like that. My email is erica@breachingextinction.com. That's Erica with a C and Breaching Extinction. I hope you guys enjoy this week's episode and we'll just get to it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Breaching Extinction podcast. I hope you guys all had a wonderful week. This week, we're here with a very special guest who's been here many times before, Orca Man, also known as Francisco. How's it going, Fred?
Oh, I am doing wonderful up here in beautiful BC. Oh, glad to say.
Hells yeah. Yeah, we were just chatting before the podcast, and Fred now works on a boat, which is very exciting.
It's a huge step up. The last time you guys heard me, I was managing a kitchen. That was not fun. It would be so fun. No, that was... Yeah, the same thing for about 2 years, and I recently just got my boating license for British Columbia. Now I'm tooting around. You can find me on the Aquabus here in False Creek in Vancouver.
The Aquabus.
It has like rainbow like letters on the side. It's so cute.
Stop. I need to Google that.
Oh, you do. Everybody look it up. Aquabus ferries. It is such a delight. The boats are like the cutest thing you've ever seen. We can take 12 passengers in regular ones. We can take strollers, bikes, wheelchairs. Anything you need.
This is the cutest little boat.
Yeah, so I've been driving around that in the past 2 days.
It makes it so much better now that I know it's a rainbow boat.
Oh, 100%. It's such a delight. Everybody who takes them who doesn't know that they exist is always tickled pink. I'm driving around, I'm like, I'm in the green boat today. It's just delightful.
Oh my god. Okay, so my dream, like, is to kind of have a rainbow boat. I was like discussing my, like manifesting my business plans with some friends. And I like want one boat that's like low-key, like it's like pastel kind of Lisa Frank vibes.
Sure.
The boat, whale themed, obviously.
Necessary.
And then I want another boat that's like a pink Zodiac called the Bim Boat. I just want to advertise, excuse me, to the girls, gays, and theys. That's kind of my goal.
I think that's phenomenal.
Yeah. I was telling my captain about this, and he was like, nobody wants to make any money. And I was like, I feel like I would make so much money.
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say, you have no idea how much money this would make.
Okay. So say,
one of our best days is like Pride Week.
Oh my god.
Everybody wants to take the Aquabus. We are the coolest place in town.
I feel like I need to come back up to BC just to take the Aquabus.
I am waiting here for you. The rides are free for yourself.
Oh my god. I'm so stoked.
You can sit down, we can just do loops all day.
Honestly, I feel like I need to plan another trip. Because I want to go back up to Orcas Island to see some friends. And I keep meaning to do that in the summer, and then life just keeps happening, but I feel like I've gotten into this mode where I'm just trying to like say yes to things and like also just live my life the way I want to live it and not be like, oh, I'm waiting for this or for that, you know? Yeah. So, but also like, you know, balling on a budget. So
doing what you can, when you can, saying yes in the places where like it is possible. It's huge. Like, yeah. Hey, let's go to France this weekend. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But I can do road trips, I can do hikes, I can do camping. Yes. I play around.
Yes, exactly. But yes, now that I've seen that little boat, so cute. Okay, well, you guys make money, and now I'm going to go in and tell my captain and be like, listen, this is a money maker. And
it
if you make it like pastel, like, because I would love to have like velvet seat cushions, but also I'm like, someone's gonna throw up on that.
Oh, yeah, that's not for boats, maybe not. You could like break out the velvet every so often, or you could have like one velvet and then charge extra for it.
Charge extra. Yeah,
This
true.
is a single seat.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So we'll see. That's amazing. I love that for you.
It's a delight.
So, any other life updates? What else is new?
Hanging out. My younger sister graduated college last week, which is so exciting. She graduated wildlife ecology out of Virginia Tech. Go Jackie.
Wow.
So pleased for her. Beyond that, I'm really hanging out. Actually, the big news in the past like month or so, definitely since the last time I was on here, I reached a 250,000 followers on TikTok, which I am so pleased about. And I just hit 10K on Instagram, which I would never expect it to happen as fast as it did. So I'm very, very appreciative on those two fronts and hopefully going to be engaging people enough to continue making some semblance of consistent content, whatever consistent might mean.
For sure. Yes. We were also just discussing with content creation needing support with that. So that's always, it's always hard to be consistent when you need to do things to pay your bills first.
It makes a huge difference. I've always had this dream of doing like a YouTube docu-series on different whales, different historical events with regard to the whale communities, with different populations or like research facilities. But I in my head, I'm like, the only way that I could possibly do that is if I had rent covered. Like, if I have rent and living expenses covered and I can like do other things to like save up enough more money to go do other things, then I could have like the space to do it. But it's absolutely necessary that those base things are done before I even like dream about anything happening.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And we both live in very expensive zip codes.
Oh,
So
yes.
it's difficult out here. So yeah, trying to find those creative ways to bring in some form of income so you can create content. Yeah, that's like part of why the podcast is ending right now is because I do need to focus on, career stuff and building where I can actually like increase my income because inflation
Absolutely.
is rough out here. But anyway,
Yep.
so we are here to discuss Fred's favorite thing on the planet, the movie Free Willy. So,
Woohoo!
of course, you have to give us the story of why you love Free Willy because I'm sure there's some people here that haven't heard that story yet. And then we'll get into all your little like nerd facts about the movie.
Amazing. This is by and large my special interest. It is ridiculous. I both talked about Free Willy, like what a location in Free Willy today, and then and like a specific location. This is how ridiculous it is. I was talking about a specific location in Free Willy today, and then a whale friend is there and tagged me saying, "Oh my God, you need to come see this." Like, that's the kind of universal Free Willy thing that I'm working with.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the year is 2002. I am a whole 3 years old, and my parents are pregnant with their third child. So, baby number three is on the way. The car that we have is a sedan. It's getting a little bit cramped. We know that there's going to be another baby in. We want the space for everybody to kind of be. And so my parents decide, okay, now is the time that we become the minivan parents. So they toot their way on over to Chevy. They go get a new vehicle. And at the time in 2002, Chevy was doing a Warner Brothers edition. Now, Warner Brothers editions of these minivans basically meant that they partnered with Warner Brothers. Chevy partnered with Warner Brothers to put a DVD slot into the back seat. So came with headphones and the TV screen that like came down from the ceiling. You could put in the movie from the front. It was all set up. The headphones were wireless. It was super cool. And the movie that the car came with was Free Willy. Now, if that didn't happen, I genuinely have zero idea where I would be, who I would, I don't, I have zero idea who I would be today, which is kind of wild because I watched that movie and then I watched it again and then I watched it about 1,000 more times. And that's how it began. It was my comfort movie growing up and it had enough of an effect on me that the only th like my set goal from that point on was like, I want to work with killer whales. That's just, that looks like the coolest thing that could ever exist. And now I'm 24. This is a whole 21 years later. My free will obsession can now drink in the United States legally. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I just want to work and talk about whales. This is the best. But that is how it began. And then interest that was slowly fed both by like my drive to do it, as well as my parents' encouragement to continue, and everybody around me kind of being like, if you're so into this, like this is what you kind of do. It kept on evolving, let's call it, until I am continuing to reach my final form now as the Orca Man.
Amazing. We love it.
Yeah.
Love to hear it. That's awesome. Okay, so you're here to just nerd out on Free Willy and tell us
Let's
about the film. So let's just get in.
absolutely. Let's do it. Let's do it. One, they use real whales. And I'm going to start with they use real shots of whales for all of the external scenes. So all of the scenes of Willie's pod in nature is actually J-Pod, the southern residents we all know and love here on this podcast, absolutely. Up in Puget Sound, Salish Sea. The head, not the head filmer, director, but the guy who was hired out to drive the boats to take all those shots was actually Kelly Bartum Balcom, Bartlett Balcom. I forget his last name. I don't know how to say it. But he was the guy who was driving around the boats in order for the film camera like crews to be able to get all of those scenes. You can see whales like Ruffles and a whole bunch of other different ones out in the wild there, which canonically, so this is like one of my favorite things that exist, like facts that exist. So Spider-Man, right? Who thought with Spider-Man and Free Willy could come together? But Spider-Man, right? Spider-Man is Peter Parker and
Okay.
Spider-Man. And so a better way to put it is like Tom Holland is Peter Parker. Tom Holland is British. And Peter Parker is from Queens. Yeah. So there was a real whale that was cast as Keiko initially. They had a bunch of different castings for Keiko or for Willie, actually. And we can get into that a little bit later. But Willie, Keiko in this sense, when he was cast, Keiko is an Icelandic whale originally, or a Norwegian whale. He's from the like northern Atlantic coasts and was captured there. So Keiko is a northern Atlantic whale. But he plays a southern resident,
Nice.
which I definitely found interesting insofar as like I never thought that a whale would play a whale from another place. But
Yes.
as far as that goes, I found that hysterical. I'm not sure where Jason James Richter is from, but like he's not from the Pacific Northwest as far as I know.
Yeah.
So he's as far as like the whale being cast as like a whale from a different place, I personally find that to be hysterical.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. With
Yeah,
Keiko's release, we can get into that in a second, but go on.
for sure. But yeah, who knew that whales had different cultures and all the same kind of things that we do?
Yeah, right. And so like it was a really cool kind of entrance into that. Go back to the casting real quick. Because when Warner Brothers was initially doing scouting for Free Willy, they had the script, but they didn't have the whale. So, like, they were trying to figure out which whale they wanted to use. Keiko at the time was in Rato Adventura. I actually got yelled at by a colleague at my previous job who's from Mexico City, who's like, it's Rato Adventura. And I was like, you are correct. I am whitewashing the name. I've only heard it as that. But yeah, it's in Rato Adventura. I'm not going to continue to roll my R's, but they also potentially looked at Lolita as a candidate, which is wild, especially with everything going on with Lolita right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for all the talk about her potentially going back to the Pacific Northwest, like between Noah signed, like Noah hasn't signed off on it yet, I don't think. So like we'll see what happens there. But the Miami Sea Aquarium, actually, they agreed with a condition to do the movie, but the condition was that the whale would have to go into a bigger tank, and that would need to be the end of the story. Like it couldn't free it Like, it's like, oh, it's in better condition right now. That was the only way the Miami Sea Aquarium would have signed up.
Wow, trash.
Which that's is wild. Crazy. Well, especially too, when like, that's a thing that they could pull off at the time, and they just didn't like, it was like, yeah, you could do it if you changed it like this. We're not going to do that. Whereas like in Reno Aventura, they're like, we're not going to free the whale. We don't, what are we going to do? Which is wild. Or not even, we're not going to free the whale. It's just like, yeah, you could give us the money. We'll set this up. It'll be great.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, it's funny how they kind of had enough wherewithal at the time to know like, oh yeah, maybe we shouldn't make a movie about this because we might have to let our whale go. Imagine if it had been done about Lolita. I wonder if that would have changed timelines.
It would have been a whole different scenario. I wonder even what kind of movie it would have been differently. Because, like, it would have gone, yeah, it would have gone far, but I'm just interested in, like, how they would have done it. Because I feel, at least, because, like, Lolita's tank, no, see, this is me just being far too sentimental about the movie, being like, the tank is an integral part. It's, like, practically a character within the story, and it's just it. It's not the case. If they filmed it somewhere else, it would have been like pretty much the same movie with just a different setting. But yeah, there's a good potential that would have happened because the outcry of the public as soon as this movie was released, oh, wild. Wild. This was, if this, because this came out in box office 1993. What also came out in 1993 was Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And this did better than that.
Damn.
Not only that.
Mean. I didn't.
It is.
I had no idea. Because I feel like Nightmare Before Christmas is such like a classic.
Yeah, absolutely. And so like that's where I become like even more like adamant about this. I don't know. Did you grow up like religious about The Sandlot too?
I did grow up religious about The Sandlot, yes.
It beat The Sandlot.
Damn.
like that when I was, it was literally my first TikTok was like Free Willy beat out Nightmare Before Christmas in the fucking Sandlot in the box office that year. And it's like, it's not known, which is understandable because the movie has definitely like gone with history in that sense. But I, if there is one person keeping it alive, here I am.
It's you for sure. Yes. Yeah. It's crazy. I definitely have seen The Sandlot and that year before Christmas like a couple times, and I hadn't seen Free Willy until earlier this year when your girlfriend planned a surprise birthday party movie screening.
I think this is the greatest segue in the world, which I am so incredibly pleased that it wasn't even me, I will say. It like my girlfriend got you to see Free Willy for the first time. That is a magical occurrence that I never thought would happen, where somebody else would get a whale person to watch Free Willy on my behalf.
I feel like it's just one of those things where it's like, I never watched it as a kid. Like there's a lot of movies I didn't watch. I don't know. It just, in my house, we didn't watch a ton of movies, I guess, but
yeah, no, that's understandable.
Yeah. And it's one of those things like as an adult, like people will be like, oh, we'll watch this. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I will. And then never do it.
100%.
Yeah, but then I saw Free Willy, and then yeah, and I learned that there's multiple Free Willies because we're sitting down and you're like, which one is it, guys? But yeah, so but that was definitely also, just side note, one of like the coolest birthday parties I think that someone could have put on. Your girlfriend did a great job with that.
She really did, and she's not only like phenomenal on that front, she's gonna appreciate the shout out. Not only from myself, but especially from you. No, she was phenomenal. She, back in like September, August, September, dropped the fact that she was going to throw me a surprise birthday party. Like she had been planning it for months, and I knew that there was something that existed. And she was able to convince me by like October, December, that it wasn't happening anymore.
Yeah.
And like it had dissipated. And so like for me, I'm the most gullible person in the world when it comes to that. I was just like, okay, I trust you, as I like should. And so January came along and it was like coming up to my birthday. And just in case, I was like, should I like keep a day open by chance? And she was like, no, you'll be fine. I originally, when as we were walking up to the theater, I thought that we were going to see, if anybody knows Brené Brown, if you don't, go look up Brené
Yes.
Brown right now. She is a sweetheart, and vulnerability is the best. It will save you from everything. But I thought we were going to like a Brené Brown showing, like a talk or something like that, that they were showing at the movie theater for her work. And so I was like, this is going to be super fun. I'm going to like maybe cry in this and know absolutely nobody there. And I ended up crying in there, knowing everybody there, which was even better.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I love that she got you in with like a Brené Brown hook. I've definitely talked about Brené Brown on the podcast a couple times because she's like the shit, and I think the world would be better if more people read her work, watched her work, like interacted with it in any sort of way, because so many people are like detached from their emotions, and this is such a, like a sidebar, but like also anytime that we can plug Brené Brown, it's God's
It's a
work.
good time.
We're
It's a
doing
good
God's
time.
work.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%.
But yeah, so I'm glad that your girlfriend, you guys both know that she's the shit. So
Yeah, 100. Not a question there. And it was another reason why, like, I'll support Alyssa in anything she's doing or otherwise, on that front. But even more so, like, yeah, engaged and excited to be like, oh my God, what's going on?
yeah.
What are we gonna hear? Is this exclusive content? Like, she is somebody that I will be. Now, maybe following isn't the right term, but like continuously reading and learning from for as long as I possibly can.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read her newest book, Atlas of the Heart, but I need to. I don't know if you've read that one yet.
I've only read Daring Greatly.
Okay, that's a lapse. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few in between there.
Yes.
But on the other side of that point, I will say actively the biggest surprise of that birthday, like one, being able to watch Free Willy on the big screen. I've never done that before. I could be like holistically just brain farting and not remembering a time, but I'm pretty sure that's the first time that I've seen Free Willy in a theater, which was such a magical experience in and of itself. But then at the when the surprise happened, it was really cool to like look around and be like, oh my God, you guys are all here. Like, what the hell's going on? And then I saw you and I was like, there's like really, like, you came up from Monterey for my birthday party that I didn't know about. I was like, there was such of the cherry on top where like it wasn't expected and it made the day feel really special. Like it was like there was a lot of effort put into it, but it made it even more grand on that front.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it really worked out. Kendra was like I told her I was gonna be in Seattle and I was supposed to fly in on like that Monday. I think it was like a Monday through a Thursday, and she's like, oh, well, Fred's birthday is this weekend, like you should come. Oh, you won't be here. And I was like, well, let me just like see like if I can change my flight. And like
Yeah.
I changed my flight and I drove up and it was awesome. I'm like,
It
I'm
was,
so glad it worked out, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely. No, it worked out timing wise phenomenally. And so shout out to Kendra too. Thank
Yes.
you, Kendra and Alyssa and yourself for like making that all possible. You guys were so touching that I quit my job. And
That's good. And now you're driving a boat, so
I'm driving a boat.
that's
Full
ideal.
circle.
We
Full
love
circle.
that. We love
We
that. Okay.
do.
We're gonna get back to movie stuff, but I need to know, do you see whales from the boat ever?
No.
No.
So I haven't. 2019, there was 3 to 6 transients that chased a seal into False Creek. And that's never happened. It is a super small navigable like harbor even. And so like seeing whales go through that is like insane. That was the only time I've ever heard that happen. When I was in I was in school when that happened, and my friend who worked there, who ended up getting like got me the job recently, sent me the videos from a person who took them, being like, oh my God, Fred, there's orcas in False Creek, we just saw them from, and it was insane. So I haven't there. That being said, funny enough, this Sunday, Alyssa and I went to Lighthouse Park, which is just off of where the ferry is from the mainland of BC to Nanaimo, and we saw Malachite, the humpback whale. like hanging out. We walked up and Malachi was like lobtailing, and I saw the Prince of Wales boat, and I was like, oh my God. Oh, there's a whale. That's there's it's right there. And that was amazing. So that was a very fun thing for us two to share. That was the first time that Alyssa and I saw a whale together. So
Yeah.
cute. Malachi was our first.
Oh, that's so cute. That's also crazy because I feel like you guys have been together for a minute, so that's surprising that it's taken this long.
I've seen whales once since we've been dating before this. I saw a group of orcas, I'm not sure what kind, on a ferry to Friday Harbor last May. And that's the only time within the past 2 years that I've myself seen
I
orcas.
know. You're deprived.
I am so depressed. It's the reason why, like, I can't justify spending the money when I know for a fact that, like, I have the ability to do it as a profession. Like, I have an ability to get people to want to come on a boat with me. So I'm like,
Yeah.
I need to, my goal is to bolster myself enough to be able to, like, both go out and, but have it be paid for without having to. Well, I have a whole bunch of permanent residency things that are like in the works too right now. So job wise, I'm trying to be very picky to say the least.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No, that's fair. No, I feel you. Like, but also there's a lot of people that kind of low key do pay their way into the whale watching industry. Like I,
Yeah.
which lots of people don't have the money to do that. A lot of people, not a lot. I think like the photographer type people, like the people whose parents buy them a fancy camera at the age of 20 and then they start going on whale watching boats. Some people get jobs that way, but
Yeah, absolutely.
we don't have money like that. So
No, yeah, no,
we're
no.
not doing that.
I went out with my buddy on Sunday, and we went to like got a drink at three different places. And at the end of the night, I was like, "Ooh, like that was maybe not the best." Like we're pinching.
We're pinching. Yeah, we're pinching pennies out here. But yeah, no, there are some people that do that, but I also feel you like of not wanting to whale watches are expensive, like not wanting
Yeah.
to pay for a whale watch. I've paid for in my entire life three whale watches, I think.
I paid for at least five.
If you're ever in Monterey, obviously. You have so many people that would take you on boats. You can go on boat. You
Yeah.
can go on, like probably every company.
I'm also too like super excited. I want to like go to the sardine factory with Dane.
My God. I don't know if you can.
I mean, maybe not, but like it's a thing that would tickle me pink.
Yeah.
Just like he's just so happy about them.
His little sardines.
His little sardines and anchovies.
His little anchovies. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need to plan a trip down here. I think that should be one of Alyssa's next vacation.
I money and time, but yes, 100%. Like,
I get that.
yes, I'm with you. I am there. Anytime anybody tells me like, where do you want to go next? Like, as like a new destination, I actually say Santa Cruz. Like, definitely, I want to see everybody, and also to like surfing in Santa Cruz. I've like dreamt of for a really long time.
Yeah.
So like, hit and just get. There's whales.
There's
There's
whales.
friends. There's surfing, and I can
Yes.
spend money. I
Yes.
can spend a month and be like, this is, yeah, I'm hanging out.
This is it. Yes. Well, lucky for you, I live in Santa Cruz, so you guys have a place to stay. Yes, that's right. Right
Like
across.
it.
She's like, thanks. Okay.
Those
Anyway,
beaches.
the movie, Free
Back to the
Willy.
movie.
Back to the movie.
Yeah. Lori Petty's in it. I don't know why I was thinking of like actors within it. Yeah, Lori Petty's in a whole bunch of stuff because she was huge in, oh my God, what was the movie? Big surfing movie, but it was like one of the guys was trying to get away from things. I forget the name. And somebody's gonna comment on this and be like, of course it's this.
Yeah.
We have things to look it up as well.
We do. We have computers.
We have computers. But yeah,
Yes.
so also is Michael Madsen, who I like didn't realize is as big as he is for a father figure in Free Willy. He's like in half the Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
Which is, as soon as I saw him in the Tarantino movie, I was like, what in the world? This seems exceptional. Ah, Point Break. That was it. She was in Point Break, a very big main character in that, and she starred in A League of Their Own.
Okay, nice.
Shout out. I don't know if you've seen A League of Their Own, the new series. It's phenomenal. I'm plugging it right now. There's a one season out, and then there's four episodes coming out for a second season, and that's going to be it. But Great, great, great television.
Okay. I've not seen it, but I'll have to look into it. Is that the zombie
Yeah.
one?
No, League of Their Own is about the All-American Girls Baseball League
Okay.
in the 60s.
That makes sense. That makes more sense than zombies. Okay.
But hey, zombies are around. The zombie movie that came out recently was Renfield. I saw that. It was with Nick Cage. It was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rather that.
Yeah. But back to Free Willy.
Really?
It was successful for a good number of reasons. The first, you got to think, this is 1993. Michael Jackson put his name on it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so like Michael, this was big part of it. He wrote it was like a per song in particular for it. So Will You Be There My Michael Jackson is the Free Willy anthem. And it plays at the end. Everybody's like, it was the crucial set point, let's call it that. Well, one of the big building blocks that helped it become the blockbuster box office debut that it was.
For
Michael
sure.
Jackson also did it for Free Willy 2, which is wild.
That is wild.
Childhood was the song for that one. Free Willy 2 barely broke even with its budget. So that
Yeah.
was its own thing. They also had a lot more CGI. It was a huge production. Very different. On that front, before, because we'll get into the whale later, but in terms of Free Willys, there's four Free Willy movies that exist. Three with Jason James Richter starring. Two of them have Michael Madsen and focus on him and his family and kind of a bit of a storyline there. The third one is very much more on his own as a research assistant.
Yeah.
The Free Willy 3, the rescue starts at like the harbor that I work in, which is super cool. I'm like, oh my God, Free Willy 3 was filmed right there and I'm here and I'm on a boat and I'm driving a boat. This is so cool. I have fun.
Good.
Yeah.
As you should. I feel like it's full circle.
It
Just,
is.
yeah.
It yeah, I did 100% there. Michael Jackson did not do it the third one. And then the fourth Free Willy movie is with Bindi Irwin.
Okay,
Free
damn.
Willy Escape from Pirate's Cove. They went backwards in CGI and animatronic technology maybe 20 years from the first movie.
Okay, solid.
Bindi Irwin's great. She deserves the whole world. That movie was not good. That
That's fair. That's
movie
fair.
is not within, and the Free Willy universe, it is not. I saw what they were trying to do. They didn't do it well.
Okay. Is
That
what is the Free Willy universe? What is that?
the Free Willy universe, I'm not sure if it's like a different degree of Free Willy from one place to another. I haven't seen, I saw Pirate's Cove like twice. And so
Okay.
I don't remember whether or not the whale jumped over the rocks to, spoiler alert, if you haven't gone to see Free Willy, go watch it. Pause this, watch
Yeah.
it, come back, do it.
Yeah.
If you DM me, I will find a way to pay for you to watch it. That is the God's honest truth. I will do make as many people watch as Free Willy for as like little money as humanly possible. Especially for the first time. Beyond that though, I'm not sure whether or not the whale in Willy and Free Willy Pirates Cove jumped over or like what ended up happening with him. But I like to think of it as parallel universes where like a whale gets lost and captured and tries to get freed. In my head, that's not like a, it's not like in the same world, different times. No.
Yeah.
This is two separate universes where Willy gets captured or Willy gets like trapped and they need to get him out.
Yeah.
That is how I would like to do it. If I made another Free Willy movie, in my head it would be brand new again, and it would either be brand new or build on the original Free Willy universe. One of the two. One of the two.
One of the two. I'm glad that you've thought about this because it's
I
important.
have. Well, because like I think that every killer whale story should have at least a 40-minute like dramatic episode somewhere. Like, yeah. I would love to pitch to HBO, like, I have some wild killer whale stories. Can you give me like 12 episodes and I will give you like unforgettable entertainment? And I think it would work. I think it would be incredibly gripping. I think so many people would watch. I think everybody would learn a lot and it could be really, really useful. For funding, for conservation, for yeah. awareness, like telling these stories of how it began, I think would go a long way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fair.
Yeah. Okay.
So the whale.
The whale.
Let's get into the whale.
So Keiko had a whole number of things around him. One, he had skin lesions. So if you watch the movie, as you saw, he has like all of the different like skin condition underneath his fins, and they didn't do anything to the tank to clear it up. I'm pretty sure they gave him antibiotics like either like while the movie was underway or just after, especially when he was getting rehabilitated. But he was like not sick, but he was definitely diseased during that time. It wasn't contagious or anything like that. It was just like a skin disease.
Yeah.
But his immune system definitely wasn't great.
Sure.
Now the story of what happened with Keiko afterwards was wild, because basically it starts out the people who made Free Willy vastly underestimated the general population.
Yeah.
And when I say that, they decided that geniuses down at Warner Brothers or whoever was the not production agent, but like the person in charge of kind of like distribution.
Yeah.
They put, if you want to help killer whales and whales around the world, call 1-800-WHALES. And this is like, I don't know if it was like cell phones just started being around, but like everybody was beginning to have a phone and everybody was using it very specifically. And so when this came out, it was like, call 1-800-WHALES and see how you can help save the whales. They had like 16 people that was manning like the call center. After the first like 24 hours to like a week, they needed to up it to like 300. I'm pretty sure, like, it was like a ridiculous number. I could be getting these numbers wrong, but like basically the call center that was receiving all the calls for people saying like donations and otherwise, and so many were coming in that they needed to like expand the operation because people were donating, like they wanted to be able to get as much research as they possibly could, and they were going to donate this money. And so at the end, they're like, you know, Keiko is our star in this film as Willy. And so everybody's like, amazing. Free Willy is wonderful. Did you free the whale? And the production agency had to answer, who had absolutely nothing to do with like anything with that, and have be like, no. Like, yeah. This is a movie.
Yeah.
So this is like one of the biggest stories about the power of the population, because what ended up happening is the Free Keiko Foundation was founded, which then accepted donations for the whale to become rehabilitated and then later released back into the wild, reintroduced. And the funding, because this is like a multi-million dollar project, was both from like large investors, but also too like millions of people around the world calling in being like, I want to help free this whale. And like, for all intents and purposes, they did. The success of how like good that was is definitely, I wouldn't even call it up for debate, but there's a lot of thoughts that people have about it. But the thing that I'm always consistently amazed at is like the decisions that were made were one thing, and that is, can definitely be critiqued and we can do better going forward. But the fact that millions of people around the world came together and was like, we want better for this whale. And then they got like a team together to try and create better for it, to the point where they rehabilitated Keiko. They were able to get the skin lesions off. That is insane. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Do you know what caused the skin lesions?
I think it was like both water quality and heat. Because it was in Mexico City, so like the I am talking out of my ass here. I don't 100% know. I know that water quality potentially was a part of it. But if you look up the, there's two books out there, Killing Keiko and Freeing Keiko, funny enough. But that go into more detail about the specific like nature of the lesions themselves. As the Free Willy fan that I am, I'm sad that I don't know the name and the reasons off the top of my head, but I know that they were able to fix it with antibiotics and just general overall like water quality health and quality of life.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching, when I watched the movie, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with that whale? Like,
yeah, he's got some stuff on him. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most killer whales that we know of live in, like, cold waters, not super cold. I mean, some of them do, like Antarctica, but, like, here the water temperature on average is, like, 55 degrees Fahrenheit, so...
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, on that front, like, yeah, being 55 degrees is pretty solid. It's, like... It's still cold to jump into for us on that front. Yeah. And so like on that front, I know SeaWorld's temperature is super low for anybody going like that gets there and gets splashed on. Like it's always colder than most people expect. But yeah, I don't know exactly what it was with running around Ventura. And like, I think it was as bad as any other marine park at the time. And it was only funded so much. So like there's only certain levels that they were able to do. Yeah. But that's the basic beginning of Keiko's story, to say the least.
Yes.
When all of the conversations were happening about what was going to happen to him, this is another thing that a lot of people don't know that is just strange to me. And I believe most people, is that Michael Jackson put a bid to buy the whale. He wanted to build a tank in Neverland and just have Keiko as a pet.
That's creepy. Now knowing what we know about Michael Jackson.
Yes, true. And like there's a part, yeah, it's wild at that point to be like, also I don't know about you, I can't contemplate being that rich.
I agreed. That was like my second thought. My first thought is ew. My second thought, can you imagine having money like that to be like, oh, let me get this whale? Like,
yeah, let me not only buy the whale, let me get the tank for it. Mind you, in the film, they were like, we want Willie to die so that we can get $1 million off of his life insurance policy. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Also, too, like the plot of Free Willy, I don't think is as appreciated as it should. Like the heads of the adventure park, like the reason that the whale was going to die before they freed it, because it wasn't just that they freed the whale, is that they saved the whale from dying, because the park was going to kill the whale to get life insurance money off of it,
right?
Which is like such a whack, like I'm gonna pitch this as an idea, as like something that like really evil people would do.
Yeah,
like to get to that point, oh my god.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, no, that's crazy, like that a whale has a life insurance policy.
Yeah, and then like the story that they went with to like try to make it believable is that the owners would want to kill the whale,
right,
in an inconspicuous manner to get money.
Right.
Because it's worth a little bit more. I'm like, okay.
All right, guys. Yeah.
All right.
Capitalism. That's an American plotline for sure.
It seriously is. I think, yeah, I consistently say one of my favorite lines in the entire film is when the owner is on the phone with some of the managers, and the managers are like, what are we doing? How does it like what do we need to do? It's like, go get the whale. And he's pissed off. He's like, I don't know what to do. It's like, we don't have theft insurance on the whale. Go get it.
Oh, my God. We have life insurance on the whale.
Yeah, which is just like the thought of theft insurance for a whale. Like, I don't know. It's well written on the sense of like, I find that absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
They also, too, have a 12-year-old going away with, I don't know if it's a gang or his friends, to Venice Beach to what can only be constituted as selling drugs. Yeah. Like, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure he's like, we got some work down there. I'm like, okay.
You're like, what else could that be?
Yeah, I genuinely, I don't know. Yeah, there's so many little tidbits within that that are just, not only do I find it endearing and like nice, but also like, what in the world? Like, to be on set, I've been talking about like, oh, this is a really good idea. This is like the way that this thing should go is, I don't know, it's beyond me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. American, definitely an American plot line. We have like exploitation, insurance fraud, just some really capitalistic ideas. Where are you going? Peaches just came to sit with me and now she wants to leave. Don't do that.
Peaches, come on.
Also, big news in Peaches world.
Yeah.
Side note. So she went to the vet like a month ago, and they were like, or maybe like 2 months ago now, and they were like, your dog is medically obese and she can now hurt her back if she like jumps the wrong way because she's so fat. And so they gave her a prescription diet for her medical obesity, and she was 19 pounds, and we went to the vet today and she is now 18 pounds.
Go Peaches.
Oh,
Good
Peaches.
job, girl.
But she keeps trying to eat my landlord's cat's food, so that's where the
Not the
medical
best.
came from, and that's what's slowing it down. So yeah, she literally like acts like she's like addicted to it, and I'm like, girl, like she will break the rules in front of me and not care. And I'm like usually she has some remorse when she's doing something wrong, but not when it comes to the cat food. She's like, this is so good, I
This is my life.
this is my life, I don't care.
Good for her.
Anyways,
You
yes.
had to be, have you've heard the Peaches song from the Super Mario movie?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
Is
That
the
was
anthem.
her. It was for her. It was
It
made.
was.
Yeah. It's not made for anyone else but her.
Well, especially too, as calling it Peaches, not
Yeah.
Peach.
Yeah.
Because she, your dog is not Peach. She is
Like,
Peaches.
she just teaches. Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's the funny thing. Yeah, like it could have been like, and I will call her like a princess sometimes too. So it's just so funny. But yeah, that song is for you. It
So
is.
cute.
Yes.
The dog that has seen more whales than most people.
So her last birthday, because her birthday just happened on the 5th of May. She's a little Cinco de Mayo baby. But her last birthday, she saw fin whales.
Oh.
I just had like, you know how like your iPhone will like make like a, like, oh,
Collage, whatever.
remember this? Yeah. There was a picture of us watching orcas on there that Dane actually took.
Cute.
But yeah, so she's seen like a lot of whales. She's seen blue whales. She had friendly fin whales. She's seen orcas, humpbacks, Rizzo's dolphins. I think she's seen Pacific and northern right whale dolphins, Pacific white-sided and northern right whale dolphins. So she's seen like seven cetaceans. She's been to like 20 states.
Peaches is living the life.
She kayaks, she has her own. Have you seen her pool float for the hot tub?
I haven't.
Oh my god, she gets in the hot tub. So where I live, we have a hot tub, and when my landlords are out of town, they let me use it. And so obviously I'm not gonna like be selfish and sit there all by myself. I'm gonna invite her to the hot tub. So let me send you pictures of her little, it matches your boat actually.
Oh, that's delightful.
Yeah, so she just vibes in the hot tub. We both do.
So
It's
if Peaches ever comes to the Aquabus, she's going to just take it over completely. I'm down with that.
she is, she's ready. She's ready. Yes. Yes, isn't
Oh, what a delight. That is so fun.
it so cute?
That is adorable.
Yeah, and I just get wine drunk in the hot tub and she just chills and
That's a
that's it.
beautiful view.
Yeah. I really am living the dream. I am very, very fortunate that I found a beautiful house to rent. Like most people here are renting rooms in a house, but I have a house and my landlords are literally the shit. They're such awesome people and yeah, so and we have a hot tub part of the year. So,
Love
and
it.
that is rare to have awesome landlords and also to rent your own house in California because it is expensive. But I pay about the same as what people pay for a room in a house, but I get a whole house. So,
That's phenomenal.
yeah, with that view for, but it's all
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. It's all for peaches, though. We do this for peaches. She deserves the view and the yard. Like, it's for her. Everything's for her.
Absolutely.
Because she's the queen. Yeah, she's the queen.
So
Anywho,
delightful.
I like how you and I just so easily get derailed. Like,
That's
from.
okay. There's a lot of places to derail,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to Free Willy. There's
Absolutely.
the avenues.
The avenues. So many avenues.
Ridiculous. So many
Yeah.
avenues. Speaking of avenues, so Free Willy takes place in the majority of the filming for the Pacific Northwest, like with regard to any of the actors, is in Astoria, Oregon,
Okay.
which is like funny because it's the film hotspot for The Goonies and Free Willy. Those are the two. The house that's there is like unbelievable. That the there's a room in the house that's like ridiculously amazing. But yeah, so Astoria, Oregon, that is where the house is. That is where a lot of the bridges are that you see him going over, and that's where the rocks are. That I was so the rocks is the place that I was talking about. Like I wanted to go stand on the rocks, get my photo taken, like hand up and everything. Again, if you haven't seen Free Willy, go and watch it right now. And I had a friend who tagged me, who's around that area right now, who's like, "Oh my God, Fred, you got to go see this." And I was like, "Yes, I do." It's
Side note, with you talking about houses, did you ever see that house like a few months ago that was for sale that was like Orca everything?
I did, and like I did my best to not try to put a bid on it.
Right.
So just like internally being like, I don't care how much money I spend. This is just like such a joke.
Yeah.
I couldn't even bring myself to do that. I'm pretty sure it was in British Columbia.
Yeah, I was
I
gonna
want to
say,
know who made it.
where was it? Sorry, what was that?
I want to know who made it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, yeah, who owned that house?
What whale nerd was like, this is what we need.
This is it. Yes. Yeah, I need to know. I just Googled it again. House for sale. It is in BC. I wonder if it's still for sale. It's so fucking cute. I cannot. I wonder how much it went for.
I last I checked, it was like over 2 million.
Why? I mean,
British Columbia is insane.
this worth it potentially. And also with the
That's
view,
fair.
like goddamn, and the fact that the house is blue. Okay, so we're gonna manifest that this will be the price was, yeah, 1 million and 800,000 basically.
Okay, so nearly the two.
Yeah, basically 2 million. That's insane. Custom built home. Yeah, we really need to. I feel like that's who we need to have on the podcast, the person who owns this house. And also, like, I need to see the inside of it because I feel like there has to be more Orca stuff on the inside.
Oh, the like you don't do that and not have like an insane amount of stuff just around.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, whose house is this? But I do like the swimming orcas. Those are my favorite. Every time
Yeah.
that I like talk to someone about British Columbia or things like that, like there's a part of me that like wants to move back like to the Pacific Northwest, but I'm also like
There's a
kind of
line.
I have it made here kind of, but also like it's so fucking hard to work up there because it's so seasonal.
Yeah.
Also,
Well,
I
yeah, it's exceptionally seasonal here. Like, it's insane.
yeah, and I the also I think it's like there's a lot of whale drama up there that I don't want to deal with either. So there's
It's the I'm like cautious myself about getting into anything, especially to like I don't want to ruffle as I want to ruffle as little feathers as humanly possible on my way to organize things. I'm going to for sure. I know that, but
Well, that's the thing that's kind of like stupid is that it's so easy to ruffle whale people's feathers. And I think Kendra's got like a good outlook on it. Like she was basically saying, like, yeah, like it makes sense that so many people like get like their feathers ruffled because it's just a lot of like really passionate people.
it
Which
is, absolutely.
yeah, is which it totally makes sense, but also like at the same time, no. This is where we need Brené Brown to come into things, because I've had people that, like, you know, we can disagree but still be friends. And I've had just some of, like, the most, like, heinous shit happen because, like, people get mad that my whale opinions are different than their whale opinions. And it's just, like, the stupidest thing in the world, because it's like, we're all adults and, like, we could think differently. And, like, I've been pretty vocal about, like, and I think I've been polite. Like, I've never said, like, oh, like, you know, screw
Screw
anybody who
this,
wants
yeah.
the Southern residents. But I've been like, I don't think that that's a good idea based on the science that we have. And like, I don't trust, you know, people that say that sentinel effects are real, because, you know, it's very biased science. Like, when you already come out and you're saying, oh, this is a thing that is exists before you even do a study, that's like very clearly biased.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I don't think we need to get like, I don't think we need to like ruin friendships or relationships over that. But I've had people be like very two-faced to me, and like I've like lost like a friendship because of my opinions on the Southern resident killer whales, despite this person being like, oh no, we can still be friends. Then I literally never heard from them ever again. I'm like, okay. So yeah, that's part of, I mean, there's whale drama like everywhere, but up there, I feel like it's, the stakes are a little bit different because there's endangered whales, and I just prefer to be where the whales are healthy. And like, I just like, you know, it's stressful to be around endangered animals.
It
Like,
is. It absolutely is. Yeah,
so I just don't want to take part in it. That's all.
I
So,
hear you there.
but otherwise, I would move up there because it's beautiful and
It's so
everything.
nice. It's
Yeah.
so nice. I will say this on the front of like people caring a lot, and I'm a firm believer in what I'll like try to throw up saying right now. One of the so the person who sent me the photo of the rocks where Free Willy having the whale jumped over the rocks and things like that. Her name is Ariel. I don't know what her last name is, but she works for Whale Scout up in Washington. And she had messengers like, I'm grateful that I found your account a while back. Like it's really nice to connect with other whale nerds because every whale nerd grew up a solo act. Which I thought was hysterical, like perfectly poetically put. But it's like because it's so true in my head, most of the people who like come into this field, especially to like when you don't grow up with it, like your opinions have it's even I'm having this and I'm like trying to figure out how to fight this as I'm like working to become a greater member of the community in the space. Is like I am the biggest contributor of the whole like these whales and these stories is like my thing that I'm interested in. And so sharing that and then sharing that ideas with people who don't have the same ones as you or ones that conflict are they're hard and strange to deal with. And this is exactly what you said with Brené Brown is in order to understand the vulnerabilities of like you're holding on to this because of, you know. It is a, such a part of you that you have like identified with it, like to actually express and engage and like grow within a sense and a place that you've only occupied yourself becomes incredibly like harder. You could do it mostly with other things pretty easily, but with the one thing that you've done solo for so long, to budge on that feels strange.
I think that's a good way to put it too. And also, like, I do think a lot of it is wrapped up in identity. It's like when people feel that any part of something that their identity is like being attacked, which is like, that's not always what it is. Like, me saying that I don't want to watch the Southern Residents and I don't feel that we should watch the Southern Residents is in no way an attack to anyone. And like,
Absolutely.
I completely understand that people are going to feel differently, and that, like, you know, everybody's gonna make their own choices. And I would never like, you know, say like, oh, like, you know, you're the worst ever for doing that. Like, I'm gonna always like be polite, but I'm just not gonna do it. And I think we need to have tough conversations. But yeah, no, I agree. It's like, it's something that's like, I feel like people are so passionate about it. But it's interesting that you bring up this like idea of it being solo, because I feel like once you get into the whale industry, it's a, like, I do think about how my life is very different because of the whale community. Like, there are certain
Yes.
experiences that I have in life that other people just don't have. Like, for example, showing up in BC for a surprise birthday party. Like,
Absolutely.
yeah. Or just like I went to Maui for my birthday, and I literally have never been to Maui in my life. I haven't been to Hawaii in general. And I had like an entire party, like full of people. Like I showed up with three friends, granted, but then I had like a bar, and there were a bunch of like whale people that showed up who I've met like throughout my journey. And it's just like a really interesting experience. Like I think right now, like the theme I'm kind of noticing in life is like there's a lot of like give and take. Like there's a lot of really amazing things that I have in my life, but also there's like shitty stuff that comes with that. Like, and I think, you know, there's so many amazing relationships that I formed. Like Erica Page and I are like so close. Like, and she's like from Ocean Lovers, and that's like how I met her, and I wouldn't have met her otherwise. And like she's like a very important part of my life now. And like there's so many people that I've met, but also it's like then you get like people who just like act like jerks because their opinions are different and they're so passionate and like frankly like lack the maturity or self-awareness to be able to have a like emotionally mature conversation about something or just be able to see things differently.
Even more so, I'm going to recommend to everybody listening right now, Brené Brown.
I love this.
To be vulnerable is to be great.
Yes.
You will be better for yourself and everybody around you
And for
by
the
paying
whales.
attention.
Yeah. And for the whales. You'll be better for the whales when you're
You'll be
better.
so much better for the whales.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So talking about all of these opinions indifferently, otherwise, the release of Keiko is highly contested as being a success. And when I say contested, I say that because it happened. Keiko was reintroduced to the wild. He was by himself. I don't know if there was any. I think that there was evidence of him foraging for fish on his own when he was gone, but he still heavily relied, like he was heavily catered towards human interactions.
Yes.
Extremely anthro-socialized animal through and through. And I think that had a huge effect on him. And yeah, I think that was particularly strange. He also, I think he did he die of pneumonia?
Think so.
Something like that. And also too, like, this is a thing that I don't know about, because like pneumonia is like liquid in the lungs, right? So I don't know if it was a C thing. I don't know if it was I have no idea. But for Keiko, like his condition going up to the end of his life was definitely strange, especially too as a whale that had been domesticated for so long.
Yeah.
I'm going to point everybody to, there's a whole number of different things. One is Freeing Keiko, which is a there's a YouTube I don't know, documentary-ish kind of thing. It's like nearly an hour long. It goes over everything, which is really, really good at just giving base information on things that happened. Otherwise, Killing Keiko, Freeing Keiko, two of the books that like are explicitly about
Yeah.
the story of the whale himself
Yeah.
would definitely give the most context to all of the specific endeavors that happened in between.
For sure.
Yeah. So pointing everybody to there, talking as somebody who like genuinely doesn't know enough and hasn't talked to anybody who's directly worked with that. So that is my two cents on the Keiko situation, and I think that's a good place to leave it for me.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's interesting, you know, that we're talking about this movie in the time that we're talking about with the Lolita potentially being released. And, like, good on the Miami Seaquarium for being willing to, like, let her go. So we'll just have to see how everything plays out with Noah and, like,
Yeah.
a C pin and everything like that.
So, little tidbit that I heard from a source that I don't know if it's reliable or not. So this is again talking without, this is my evidence-based science fact about Lolita.
Yeah, evidence-based science side.
And supposedly, because Miami Seaquarium, the owners of the Miami Seaquarium prior to the Dolphin Company were trying to sell for a while. And in order to sell, they needed a clean bill of health from NOAA. They needed like to pass inspection for all of their insurance on all of their animals and all of their facilities.
Yes.
I heard that Lolita and her tank are no longer covered, which is a whole other thing within this. We're like, if they aren't covered on that front, when the Dolphin Company takes over, that's great. Lolita and her enclosure are no longer insurable because they're not in good enough condition.
Oh my God.
Which made her a greater
candidate for release.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, where they could do it and be like, we're going to do something so great.
But really it's that
like they can't. So legally, I'm pretty sure she can't be shown anymore. And that doesn't have to do with the release. That has to do with stuff beforehand.
Oh.
Allegedly.
Okay. So they're like using it potentially as PR. But you know what? Who cares?
It works. They're not trying to kill the whale.
Yeah.
That's enough from Free Willy.
Yeah, that's true.
It is because of insurance, funny enough.
Yeah. But. For sure. Yes. Yeah. Interesting parallels there.
Yeah, there for me when I see that, there's a lot of different aspects that I'm definitely interested in seeing how they play out, especially too with regard to anybody talking about Lolita's history. Like, Lolita has been in that small tank for an 50 years.
Yeah.
So she hasn't been transported. So like putting her in a sling is a risk.
Yeah.
So like all of this is going to be incredibly, I really am hoping and praying for Lolita to hold out as long as she can, and for everybody to kind of like, you know, do their part in trying to give her the best life they possibly can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So well, hopefully it works out, but and also like she's at the complete opposite side of the continental United States.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's not a short way by any means. Even driving, like, there's no easy way to do it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So hard tangent back into Free Willy, and I think this is the last of my like real big things to like really the special interest with regard to the movie. Hmm. I definitely have like small tidbits that I could tell you that like, oh my God, there's this one, there's a color that I love, and there's these specific things that they do in the scenes that are really fun.
Yeah.
But this is the like overarching really cool things that occur.
Yeah.
Edge Innovations is the company that was in charge of the animatronics for the movie. So Free Willy, the first one, had an animatronic whale for Willy and some animatronic whales for his pod when they were doing the underwater scenes in the beginning when Willy's captured.
Yeah.
And they are phenomenal. State of the art. Like it is some of the best animatronics I've seen to date. Now, there are stories of people talking about going in and watching Free Willy and immediately knowing that they're not orcas and like real orcas, which is completely understandable for most, I'll call it like die-hard whale people.
Yeah.
But this movie is also not made for die-hard whale people.
Right.
It's made for everybody. And so for everybody, it does a really good job at inciting, or at least it did for a three-year-old. So good enough for me.
Yeah. Changed your life. Did what it
changed
did.
My casually. Casually. Yeah. So that's really cool. Edge Innovations went on for the next two films to again do animatronics for each of them.
Yeah.
The animatronics for the second one definitely was a larger set of rigs than the third.
Yeah.
It was really well done too. They rode on the whales. There was a huge underwater scene that happened between Jesse and Nadine and like four or five of the whales. And they're like life-size animatronics. These things are 30, 40 feet long.
Yeah.
Robots that are swimming through the water with these actors. It is insane. Like, that's unbelievable. Cool. If you get a chance, go and look up the animatronic robot, like animatronic orca Free Willy 2. You'll see the extent of kind of what they were doing together, and it's fantastic. That underwater sequence has captured my have captivated my mind for, I don't know, 15 years.
Crazy. So were so any cool. of the scenes like in the water with the real orca?
None of the scenes in the water were with the real orca in Free Willy. Hmm. Free Willy had, there was two scenes where Jesse was in the water. One of them was in a, like, it was a compilation of kind of training sequences. And then Jesse jumps into the water and he's being, Tony is like his arms out to the sides. He's actually on a boogie board being pulled by a wench through the tank there.
Yeah.
And then the scene where he falls in, mm-hmm. I'm 99% sure that was also
an animatronic.
And I think for when the whale pushed him up, he looked like it could have been. I also could be wrong. It was just like the movement seemed too real, but that also could just be really good robotic job.
Yeah.
And then the second part that he was in the water with the whale was when they were putting Willy into the sling, which for sure was an animatronic then.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's so the cool. The specific points, I don't think Jesse was ever in the water with Willy or with Keiko, or Jason and Keiko.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of sequences with him with the animatronic that was moving around. And one that was, he was just on a boogie board, which I find is hysterical.
Yeah, that is definitely hysterical.
Yeah, and then they did a really good job with the animatronics. The third movie, they had like one whale do one thing, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But it was still pretty cool. There was like one underwater sequence that they had that was pretty nice. I'm curious, actually, for the filming of that. I haven't seen much. The bad guy in Free Willy 3, I'm pretty sure, is running for governor of California.
Or
like something there.
Just for that reason, I should vote for him.
Yeah, it's like Southern California. I'd check his politics just to make sure, of course. But sure.
It's 2020. We can't make silly votes.
Yeah, yeah. We want to be conscious. And this was the bad guy in Free Willy.
Yeah, this is true. This was the bad guy. So maybe we should not vote for him.
Yeah. But there's a lot of fun there. So the animatronics that were unbelievable. The company there is now called Edge Dolphin Spirit kind of deal. And they have Dell, who's an animatronic dolphin that's been used in a lot of different they put on individual Swim with Dolphin productions in different places where people can pay to go swim with the robotic dolphin rather than a real one, which I think is fabulous.
For sure.
And if they ever did, I want to try and bolster up kind of like drum for this. If I ever got the company to make a robotic killer whale to swim with in the same way that Free Willy did, and you could film it, I feel I would pay $3,000 for that. Maybe not three, but like I would pay a stupid amount of money for like an hour.
Yeah.
Like I realistically dropped $1,200.
I dropped
realistically, if there was like, this exists and you show up, you pay $1,200, you go, you like, we will film you and you'll go get to swim with the robotic whale. I'd be like, I done. Not a second, like take my money. If I have nothing, I want that.
You might be the only person that's willing to pay that much money for that.
There's a chance, but like, if I can finagle a way to make it happen, I'm gonna try. Don't get me wrong. Like, I am manifesting it. There's a large chance that will never happen in my lifetime, and I'm definitely averse to swimming with killer whales in any commercial capacity that I've seen.
Agreed.
So like, it's definitely gonna be interesting to see what happens and where this manifesting goes.
Yeah, definitely. We love it.
Yeah, but that's some of my Free Willy lore. The second movie filmed free. Third movie, the beginning of it is filmed in False Creek and Friday Harbor. That is Free Willy the Rescue. Free Willy the Adventure Home is largely within the San Juan Islands, and so it's taken there. I want to find out where that campsite is and be there, because that campsite looks amazing that they had in that one. They also, you can see them getting off the ferry from Anacortes to Friday Harbor and then pulling off and into the center of Friday Harbor, which just made me tickled pink. I was like, this is so cool every time that I get off there, which is phenomenal. And the first, of course, is in Astoria in Oregon and Reno Aventura.
Of course, yes. Well, thank you so much for sharing your Free Willy facts and coming on the podcast one last time before.
I'm so pleased that you wanted me back on and to do it.
Of course, of course. Well, yes. Thanks everybody for joining us, and we will see you next week, hopefully, if I get something recorded.
See you later.
Bye.